I'm Kier.
I'm Haley.
And I'm Jay from Gallifrey Public Radio,
a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network.
Just like the one you're listening to right now.
The opinions expressed are those of each individual.
Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
And get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
You are listening to the Starling Tribune, a podcast dedicated to the Arrow TV show.
This guy gets more airtime than the Kardashians, right?
This podcast is not produced or maintained by the CW, Warner Brothers Television, CTV, or DC Comics. All characters, situations, and stories are the properties of Time Warner. I am the Oracle, and this is your Tribune.
And your reporters for this fifth episode of Season 4 of the Starling Tribune. I am Stargate Pioneer, my friends call me SP, and with me are Chris.
I don't see you associating yourself with crime lords. Present company accepted.
And Neil.
Just because we talked about this last season, I owned a bar and I wasn't old enough to drink.
And of course, IMSP, the threat of zombie apocalypse aside, isn't it kind of nice not having to deal with the whole pain of saying goodbye to someone? All right, that didn't work. Okay, I'll try another one. You're not even allowed to say energy drink while on podcast time ever again.
That's perfect.
Okay.
You don't want me to drink an energy drink before we do a podcast, man. It would end very poorly.
Yeah. This podcast is recorded on Thursday, November 5th, 2015, live on the Blob streaming service. Hey, we're just a few guys that discuss the TV show Arrow. And just a little reminder that I, unfortunately, am not a comic expert. I'm actually more into science fiction and space. Yes, that's me, the rocket scientist. Imagine that. But I am catching up with the comic lore thanks to folks like Chris.
I am the king of the comics.
King of the Hill of the comics, and Neil.
I don't know how to keep up with the all new, all different Marvel. It hurts my brain.
It's beating you up, huh? It's great storylines, though. Great storylines.
Wait till this week. There are 8 first issues, and then like 6 or 7, like number 2s and 3s. Plus, oh my.
Oh my.
Don't make
word.
Me think about it.
It gets even harder if you try and read all of the Star Wars books, too.
Okay, during this podcast, we will be talking about what happened in the current episode of the TV show Arrow, as well as news articles and announcements that could, and probably will, because Neil is just that good, impact future episodes. It will contain spoilers, so consider yourself warned. You can catch up on our rewatch shows in the off weeks and our entire archive at GunnaGeekNetwork.com. All right, Neil, lay it down for this week's episode.
This week, airing on Wednesday, November 4th, we got Haunted, directed by John Badham. John Badham does have a track record of doing Arrow before. He's also done Stitchers. He's done 3 of Supernatural. Of course, he did an episode of Constantine. That was all good. Writers for this episode were Oscar Ballardera and Brian Ford Sullivan. Again, 2 writers that have a lot of geek cred in genre TV. Lots of credit on Arrow, including This Is Your Sword, Asahim, Broken Arrow, 8 episodes in title. And these guys were writers on The Vixen, a miniseries as well that is on CW Seed. Yeah, we've got our A-team out for Haunted this episode.
Absolutely. And it was a good episode. Maybe not the best ever episode of Arrow, but it was good. And we'll talk about it, but there were some oddities that occurred because of the smashing in Constantine. But did you see the ratings?
Oh, yeah. Everyone must have wanted to see Matt Ryan in here because there was a spike and it was great.
It was. So what was the spike? About 1 million live and same day?
I believe so.
Yeah.
So it scored a 1.0 in key demographics, 2.57 million viewers that same day, a 10% increase over the prior week, and just shy of the season premiere. And this is despite leaking online.
That's true.
That's the thing that really surprised me, is when I heard that this had leaked online, and I was like, I doubt they did it on purpose because there's a lot of hype here. And I said, I wonder if this will have the Fox effect of a leak, like when X-Men Origins leaked and helped tank the movie because it was really bad, or if that leak actually helped them in this case because word of mouth started early and everyone's like, this is really good.
I'll be honest, I waited for the show to roll around, and then after I finished Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. last night, I watched the episode. I did not see the leaked episode. So I was content with watching it live plus same day.
Yeah, I didn't watch the leak either. You know, part of the joy for me is just having the community watching it at the same time I'm watching it, taking a look on Twitter, seeing who's saying what about it, you know, during the commercial breaks. And I'd lose that if I watched the leak version. So, yeah, all good.
Definitely. So, lots of things to cover this episode, surprisingly. A lot of questions being asked, a lot of, hey, what happened there? I don't understand. So, let's get started with, let's talk about Constantine. Let's talk about the cool factor there.
I was a huge fan of Constantine. I don't know about you guys. I was watching that show. I was tweeting Save Constantine. My literary genre that I'm really into is urban fantasy, and Constantine like hits that sweet spot. Magic in today's world, gritty themes, kind of verging on film noir, and the fact that we got Matt Ryan back in this episode, I was waiting for this all day. I was giddy at the office.
I was very excited for it myself, so let me admit something shameful. I watched the first two or three episodes of Constantine, and then I just kind of fell off, not because I didn't like it, but because I kind of forgot, and they all queued up on my DVR, and by the time I was ready to get caught up, it had already been canceled. So I'm part of the problem, I fully admit it. But this just reminded me how much I enjoyed the first few episodes and how Matt Ryan just nails that role. He is so good in the role of John Constantine there. And I'm trying to think of the best way, but he wraps himself up in everything you expect to be John Constantine from the comics and things like that. Oh man, I wish he had another chance. I really wish they would move Constantine to another network where they could go a little darker. I think one of the big five channels it's tough to go as dark as you could with the Constantine material.
Yeah, agreed.
But I have hope within my heart right now, let me put it on the right side here, maybe a patented Chris Farrell conspiracy theory coming, we'll get more Constantine, not necessarily in Arrow, but in Legends of Tomorrow. Make it happen, please. Please, 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 please.
I loved the whole peacock feather. Loved it. That was awesome. At first, I was thinking, oh, this is totally a Rocket Raccoon thing, you know, from Guardians of the Galaxy. I need that guy's leg. I just want it. It's important to me. And then I was like,
I really need it.
Oh. So they kind of mashed both in. They kind of mashed a tip of the hat to Rocket Raccoon in another universe. Yes, I just crossed the streams. We do that a lot here on the Giddy Geek Network. But it was also a big frack off to NBC. I loved it.
And I will fully admit, I didn't catch it at first. I thought, why does he need this peacock feather? And I paused and went, oh, I'm an idiot.
And it not only was a peacock feather, but it was a dead peacock feather. So it was like, your peacock is dead. Oh, that was awesome.
And how they introduced him being prisoner in the tent on the island. When you hear his voice that first time, it was like, oh, yeah, here we go.
And if you squabblers got a cigarette.
We talked a little bit about it last week, especially in the post-credit show with Sean, who's in the chat tonight. And we were thinking that it would be great for him to be introduced. Because of the preview for this week's episode, we knew that there was a phone call. So we knew Oliver knew Constantine before tonight. So we were speculating that they would meet in the island. And then we furthered speculation of, well, maybe there'll be a whole long big thing next season in the flashbacks with him. But no, I think with the news that we received, this is pretty much just going to be a one-off, unless they get really excited about the ratings that they had for tonight and want him back. I don't know.
And I really enjoyed the flashback stuff, but it felt very rushed, especially near the end. Don't get me wrong, it was fun and all, but I was like, wow, you just moved what would normally take like 3 or 4 episodes in flashbacks in 10 minutes of flashback.
I know. In the whole Indiana Jones thing going on, that was pretty cool too. Because of that, though, we know Oliver is pure of heart.
Aww.
He is. I guess the question I have for you guys is, he's pretty dark in season one of Arrow. Is he still pure of heart then, or does he do something on the island that causes him to lose his purity of heart?
This is one of the things that I was talking about at the beginning of the episode that's a little bit wonky, that's a little bit inconsistent, because although Oliver wants to save the city, he wants to do good things, I don't think he really truly is pure of heart. There is some meanness in him. There is darkness in him.
Yeah, I had the same thought when we were watching it. I'm like, season one, Ollie, bit dark, but if it's purity of purpose, I don't think he was ever going out to hurt people. He was just doing what he felt he needed to do, no holds barred, to save his city, help his family, and do right by everybody in Starling City at that point. So maybe he was. Maybe whatever mystical, magical spell was protecting that thing could see through that and, or not. I could go either way.
You know, that's a, wow, you had me at purity. You had me at purity, Neil. That was a great explanation. That was a good workaround.
Do we take that? Yes. Thank you. Yeah.
Take a bow, sir, because that was working it.
I'm shoveling.
And I can't argue with it. Chris, can you?
He's got a backhoe for that
one. I can't argue at all.
I love the grit that Constantine brought to this episode. I love the mysticism. And what I really loved about it, and I was thinking about this afterwards, I loved that it made me feel like it was season one or a Flash episode. And let me explain that. What I really loved about season one, when we were first getting into the, you know, finally seeing the DC universe on TV, was when we got the cameos of characters. That first time we saw Deathstroke, you know, the first time we saw Ravager, when they finally bring these iconic characters. Stroke your Deathstroke there. That's right. For all you listeners on the podcast, you should take a look at the video. SP is stroking his Deathstroke. But that's how it made me feel when we got Constantine. It made me feel like we've expanded the universe. And that's what we really lost out in a lot of last season, that it was so focused on that single storyline with the League of Assassins that we'd had for the last couple of seasons. It made me go, wow, I love this. It's a broader universe. It's a broader continuity. And we get that on a weekly basis with the Freak of the Week, or now the Rifters or the Breachers in Flash. So I appreciated that.
Interesting take. It was unique. It was kind of like the S.H.I.E.L.D. episode, 4,722 hours, that was last week. It was a little bit out of the ordinary, out of the normal a little bit, but it did still continue the story continuity. Like, we found this bag, which obviously has some sort of communications device on it. Oliver just shows up, and he doesn't look like he's malnourished at all. He's got muscle to him still. He survived after three... No, guys, we got bigger problems. Really?
Just a little bit.
Yeah. I think there's a difference between a set of clothes that you've worn for 3 years and a clean set of clothes you rub some dirt on. The level of wear could be taken slightly differently.
Yeah, just a bit. Although, he could have soiled himself on the way down.
Nice. Oh, different kind of soil.
No. The poop jokes are for Crimson Comet, not us. We can't take their shtick.
Or their... I'm not going to say
no, it. No, we're not going to go there. But I think we can all agree that Baron Ryder gets the Dumbest Drug Lord of the Year Ever Award for Argus Pack. Nah, forget about it. Yeah, I found this English guy.
We got to worry about this Englishman and see what he's doing.
Well, and then the English dude said, you think Baron here is here just for the drugs? No, sir, not at all. So there's something else that he's interested for in the island. And they did go over the special markings on the island. So he's looking for something. He's treasure hunting.
So they're, again, in the New 52, before we had the latest post-convergence reboot, the island was really important because it's where the Arrow Totem was in what was called the Outsiders War. So there's a mystical totem for each clan of, don't really call them ninjas, but kind of call them ninjas. There was a sword clan, a shield clan, a fist clan, a staff clan, a spear clan, and an arrow clan. And the totem for the Arrow Clan was buried on the island somewhere. And it's a mystical, magical totem. I think we're being set up for the Outsiders War.
Oh, that could be cool.
Would that conclude, you think, this season, or would it drag on to next season?
I still think that we've got to go to Russia at some point so Ollie can learn Russian. So I think they're going to hit it hard this season.
They have. I think the last two episodes were kind of hitting the pumping the brakes a little bit, but you can't really... I mean, they brought Sarah back. They got Matt Constantine on the show, and Matt Constantine. Yeah, I see what I did there.
That's his new name.
Yeah, we'll take it.
The other thing you should consider with the flashbacks is that we've never had them really stretch beyond one season. There's always been a new arc at the beginning of another season, so...
Well, slightly different. At least the first two were continuous on the island, though.
That's true, but it was a different kind of story being told on the island. You had Friars in season one, season two was all about Slade, so while they were still there, the narrative changed.
And Cajun Sean in the chat is bringing us back to my completion of my list that I was doing on my fingers. He said, and the Atom is coming back next episode. Yes, Ray Palmer is coming back, and we saw, I don't know if you guys saw the trailer for next week or not, and don't...
Wait, so you guys are telling me Superman Returns? Hey?
There's a knee Boom. Slapper there, Chris. That was actually pretty good.
I'm sorry, it had to be done.
Well, and it's with the DC universe, you're allowed.
And with the callbacks in Supergirl for Supergirl's parents, I mean, they're at least working it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm enjoying it. So, we're going to finish this. We're going to roll right through it. We're going to get somewhere at the mid-season finale. and then we're going to move on from there. So that is all cool. So everybody's favorite topic seems to be how annoying Laurel is. And I just want to remind everybody, comic book lore says that Oliver and Laurel are going to hook up by the end. So just keep that in mind.
I was actually advocating for that because I'm a canon kind of guy and I can't do it. I can't advocate for them to get together. I'm on Team Chris Farrell this week. I can't support Laurel.
Yes.
I'm a convert. So
welcome, my brother.
She didn't do anything that Oliver didn't do with Thea the previous year.
Yeah, but Thea wasn't dead. There's a difference. He didn't resurrect his sister out of the ground that had been dead a year. When everyone said, this is a very bad idea. She won't come back right.
And then hide zombie sister in the basement.
Zombie sister who's trained to be a master assassin who probably can get out of handcuffs very easily, just like we saw John Constantine and Oliver Queen do in this episode. They're like, oh, handcuffs? I'm done!
It's hard for me to put it into words, but watching Thea basically give up and knowing that she was doing so because of what she had done, because of what she had become, basically, not looking at the good in her like she keeps telling her brother, but just not being able to deal with her past and just telling Sarah, hey, you know, just do it. I think that's why she let herself get beat by zombie Sarah in the stairwell and stuff, is because her whole heart wasn't in it. She's like, okay, I get to decide here. I can let Sarah end it. And then Sarah can be normal. But that was before they figured out that Sarah didn't have a soul. So that wouldn't have helped Sarah, I don't think.
Now, the question is, are they still going to have her with bloodlust issues with her soul back in place now? Or did that solve it?
And they didn't touch Thea's bloodlust issues either, from what I understood.
And I was very surprised they didn't bring up with Constantine the method in which she was resurrected. I never heard any mention of the Lazarus Pit when Constantine was on scene, because I was hoping there would be.
And because it's a one-off, I don't think we're going to see him back.
Don't say things like that, SP. He'll be back.
All right.
Don't crush my hopes and dreams. He might be back one day.
The man is performing, was it 5 or 6 nights a week on Broadway across from Keira Knightley as his co-star? Really?
Yeah, right. And they did talk about how they had to film this, right? So they filmed it out of order, basically. They filmed this a couple of weeks ahead because it was the only time they could get on his schedule. So some of the miscontinuities that you see of maybe how Oliver is acting on the island or whatever, slightly off from the previous episode. And that is because this was shot out of order.
It was still fun.
Yeah. And if we get more, bonus. Hopefully they pull a Felicity. They see how the fans reacted. I can't wait to see the Live+3, Live+7 for this episode. I think it's going to be huge. If enough fans maybe want it, maybe we can make it happen.
That's true.
Hashtag more Constantine.
The only thing that went against it is the leaked pilot. How do you account for that in ratings? I mean, they can see downloads supposedly, but I don't trust those numbers at all because I can sit at home all day if I'm a college kid and download over and over and over again.
I can also sit on the CW's website and hit refresh multiple times a day and play the episode, though, too.
Yeah, that started the day afterwards, too, but that counts in same day plus 7 ratings, so, or L plus 7.
There's always ways to game the system. I'm sure they have some rubric for how to figure out what's been gamed and what hasn't.
Could have been IP address or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, something like that.
All right, we've been talking about Ghost Andy Diggle for a while now, and we get another little clue in this episode, don't we, Neil?
Yeah, and I'm not sure how to feel about that. When the folder is handed over, when Damian Dark spills the beans to Captain Lance, that Andy, not such a great guy, kind of a wannabe Afghan drug lord. It was just Hive taking out the competition. I'm not sure that was...
Hive's against really good music, too, by the way.
They are. Proper grammar, you know. I'm not sure that was how I wanted the Andy Diggle story to be resolved, but at least it moves the Andy Diggle plot forward. So, let's see what happens.
All right.
Did I miss it, but when did he get the folder of information? Damien was telling him about Andy Diggle, but did I miss him handing Captain Lance a folder at some point? Or was that off camera?
No, he didn't, but I think what happened is he went back and used his law enforcement contacts, maybe with the military, to get that information.
Because a law enforcement contact is going to get you top secret documents.
Well, in this case, it could be released and redacted or whatever.
I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just for effect.
The prop was interesting because it had multiple stamps, like it was being checked in and out of some kind of filing system on the cover of it. So it might not have been that super secret.
I was assuming it was more along the lines of Damien sent Lance to get rid of the digital tracks, and he sent some other group of folks to get rid of the paper tracks somehow, so he had the files. So that was what I'd been thinking, but that could be me just trying to make a wild leap.
No. I think that works very well. I think you both have come up with excellent theories this episode, so I will applaud both of you. Thank you.
So error writers, hire us.
Yeah, bring us on.
We're available.
I'll say the same thing that I say on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. with the girls. And in that particular case, I tell Marvel, but in this particular case, CW, you need to hire these two guys. They know what they're talking about. They've got great, rich history, and they come up with great ideas for storylines. So this off season, when you're in the writer's room, Arrow writer's room, go ahead, contact these guys, fly them in, have them sign non-disclosure agreements. They are available.
Hell, I'm cheaper than that. You know what? Just DM me on Twitter, CW, have me wander down to the set, and I'll consult live. That's all I ask for.
Throwing that card. I live in Starling City. I live in Central City.
Star City.
Star City. Whatever.
I got to play that card once an episode. Don't worry.
The suburb of Storybrooke. That's where I live. Yes, I did listen to the Crimson Comet.
Wow. On the Gunna Geek Network.
At GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
All right, Captain Lance, very, very difficult situation he's in. And Oliver is, you know what? Oliver is one heck of a runner of operatives. He's like, well, you got to go back in there, man. And I'm like, ooh. And he sends Diggle with him, which is smart, but then you get the conflict over Hive.
Yeah, but who else could he send as backup at that point that would be helpful? I mean, Speedy's off a rocker. You need to keep Laurel around to deal with the whole Sarah issue. It's pretty much got to be Diggle.
He could have called Katana.
Bring Katana back for a one-off just to be an escort in there.
She is still alive, right, in the lore. She just walked off.
That's correct.
Before the end of last season, yeah.
Well, by that logic, let's just call Barry Allen in.
I think he's been there the whole time. We've discussed it. The Speedsters have been involved in Star City.
Barry's a great deus ex machina. Anytime you need to explain something or have something happen really quickly, oh, it was a Speedster. But back to Katana, and this is interesting. Katana's sword, if you take a look at the DC New 52 the Outsiders War arc, she bears the totem of the Sword Clan. So it's a really natural way to bring Katana back in.
Nice.
Yeah. There you go. Some more obscure DC lore thrown at you.
Well done, sir.
And that's what you get when you read a lot of comics every week.
Before we leave Lance, though, I actually think that his character was verging on likable again. He's not the judgmental guy because he knows that he's human as well. He's been called on his BS, so he's actually being honest with the team, and he's trying to help again. I think he's now, he's coming and going as he likes in the new Arrow Cave. So I think he's back on board. He's on side. Now that he's got Sarah back in his life, yeah, I think he's going to be more likable going forward. And for an actor who I really enjoy seeing, I'm glad that I can like him again.
It's so hard thinking that 90% of me is sure that this is his last season, you know? It's like, oh man, you're pulling in great performances, but you already showed us the freaking grave and you're laying it out for us. You've already paved the road for us. And it's like, oh, this is so tough to watch. And for the record, we don't know who's in the grave. We're just speculating about.
I know. It's Zombie Moira.
Throw Moira in the Lazarus pit without a soul coming back. Ooh,
yeah,
that would be dangerous.
Moira.
You know I was never a good Moira fan. That, oh, man.
She would want to kill Slade then, which would get me back Slade. And I'm totally cool with this then if my random joke came true.
Again, I cannot argue with your logic. I hate Moira, but that, yes, that would bring him back. Oh,
yeah.
Again, CW, writer's room, these two. Okay.
No, that was a terrible idea. Don't actually do it.
Well, you want to see Deathstroke again, don't you?
Yeah, but do it in a better way. Don't do Zombie Moira to make it happen.
No, I'm thinking Captain Cold with an island prison break to break out both Boomerang and Slade.
And don't forget Heatwave also. He's going to get his brother there.
Oh, yeah.
Before we leave the island this time, we're going to see the prison, right? We're going to see what happens there, I think. That's just my two cents. Where the prison is now, the Argus prison, I think we're going to see it before we leave the island.
Or I think we're going to see Damien Dark do something to the prison.
Could be. He'd have to know about it, and I don't know if he does.
I don't think Argus scares him.
No.
No. I don't think anything scares him.
No.
Although, I mean, I'd be scared of Argus because they freaking want to nuke a city. I mean, I wouldn't want to be in the city when they nuked it, you know? Anyway, I just want to throw this out there. So it's Halloween episode. They call it Haunted, whatever. And when the first scene that we see Sarah, zombie Sarah, running around killing people in the alley, I noticed the woman coming out. And I'm thinking, you know, is the bar back? Is that Thea? That looks like a waitress outfit, though. And, oh, come to find out, it was a cosplaying Thea.
When they finally put all the different women that had been attacked looking for the linkage, I'm like, oh, they all look like Thea. Guys, they all look like Thea. Say it. Okay, there we go. They finally
got
it.
There you go. Yep. Cajun Sean in the chat brought up a question. Isn't Manu Bennett still in legal trouble? And I will defer to those that might know a little bit more about legalese. Anybody?
I know he'd had charges pressed against him for something, but I honestly hadn't seen anything on it lately, so I have no clue.
I haven't followed up that story, so.
Okay. So we'll take a look into that and get back to you next episode. Okay, the political strategist. There's your Damian Dark intern into the Oliver Queen campaign.
I thought the same thing. I was like, oh, it's the DJ, just in a different shape.
Ugh.
Yeah, there you go.
I didn't even think that, guys.
Yeah, he's trying to fracture him from his friends, telling him Laurel's no big deal, or you need to distance yourself from Laurel. Look, Laurel's not going to do anything. She's, as much as she might hate him, they have to work together at night. So during the day, they're not going to cut each other off. So I just don't see. Now, Captain Lance, before last episode, might have done that. But now that they're working together, I just don't see it.
Now that he's buried the hatchet with Lance and there's kind of a respect between them again, it's not going to happen. They wanted you to think it was. They wanted you to be like, oh, is Oliver going to compromise his morals so you could have that moral high ground at the end where he's like, no, I stand by her. She's still my friend. And they can tease the folks that are canon worshippers, be like, hey, look, they're still close. Here's that awkward hug when you compare it to everything else that's going on.
Yeah, that was more than an awkward hug. That was Stephen Amell going, I got to hug you and I got to hang out with Emily. This is all cool. And Emily's fine, too, because she's hanging around with a bronze medalist and the shirtless salmon ladder dude and the tech guy, Superman. So, you know, it's working both ways.
It works for her.
Yeah. And talking about bronze medalists, they bring up that Mr. Fantastic has an athletic background.
I thought I saw lettering down one sleeve of his jacket, and I should have rewound it because I kept looking, and they kept it on one side of his arm the entire shot.
I believe it's in the Easter eggs that it is actually a correspondence to his uniform in the comic world.
It did say fair play down the other arm?
I believe so.
Yeah, oh, awesome.
I was going to say it says U.S. Olympic team.
But they're in Canardia.
That's my point.
Now, Star City's American.
Merca. You guys went into that whole DC Universe City thing on Crimson Comet when you were on there. I was like, oh, good luck, because unless we see a map, that ain't happening.
I was just sitting there shaking my head. I'm like, there's no way. You have no idea where these towns are.
And it gets even more complicated when you factor in the movie world, where like in Batman v Superman, like Gotham and Metropolis are just across the harbor from each other. I'm like, what? This makes no sense.
That's wrong.
This is funny. So Haley started a podcast on Supergirl called Like a Girl. So go check that out at likeagirl.com. And so she started that out and they were talking about, well, what city is Supergirl in? I'm like, National City. Come on, National City. And Haley's like, I can't remember. That's a sign that you're podcasting too much when you don't know the city of which your superhero show is taking place. I love you, Haley.
Please send your hate mail to StargatePioneer@gunnageek.com. That's StargatePioneer@gunnageek.com.
Or tweet him at StargatePioneer.
I have yet to have some hate mail. Now, I've had some listeners say, hey, why did you play my voicemail? Which they are totally relevant because, yeah, that just slipped my mind. And we do, before I forget, we do have some voicemails from this episode, so don't let us go out without it. Okay. So, I definitely welcome my Felicity Overlord.
Of course you do.
Yeah. Who wouldn't? Really? No.
And, of course, we're back in Verdant. So, yes, we were speculating the last two episodes if the club was boarded up or not, and obviously it had been, and Thea was all freaked out by being in there.
And here's a pro tip, a word to the wise. If you go online and order a Verdant t-shirt that has a green logo in it, don't mistakenly think it would be cool if you change the t-shirt color to green also, or you'll end up with a green logo on a green shirt that looks like it has absolutely nothing on it, and it's going to sit in your drawer for quite a while.
And just taunt you.
Sounds like somebody bought a paint shirt.
Yep, pro tip.
All right, what have we not covered with the episode yet, guys?
I just think the last thing that's cool is they're going to start using the island more. And I love it in shows like Gotham, where the location becomes a character. And we saw the island had more character in seasons 1 and 2. I don't think Hong Kong had much, much character in the prior seasons of the flashbacks. But I think the island has a lot of potential. We've opened up one secret cavern. We know the island somewhere on it. We're back in Ollie's original cave where he kind of put, you know, field working girl to sleep in. So let's do more cool stuff on the island.
I remember the flashbacks in season 2 being so good. I mean, so, so good. They were like their own mini movies as the story was moving along. So yeah, they can definitely do better. And I'm looking forward to that. Absolutely. What about the episode title, Haunted? What do you guys think about that? Did it fit?
It works in multiple ways because Felicity's still haunted by the memory of Ray Palmer, who we find out is still alive. And then you've got the fact that Thea's haunted by what she did to Sarah, and Sarah's just haunted in general because she has no soul.
That's right. And we got that cool haunted cave, too, on the island.
Yes.
So, yeah, it worked. Well done. Unlike some Defiance episodes, which I'm still trying to figure out what the frickin' titles meant. Oh, jeez. All right. Is that it for the episode then, guys? Anybody in the chat have any last words for the episode? We, once again, when we get to the credits, we will make the logo go by and the fourth square will be open and you are welcome to join us with your takes on the episode, this podcast, or anything DC related. All right, so we're going to move on to some Easter eggs because there was a lot.
We've got a lot of Easter eggs. We generally find a couple articles to reference and go through those. One of the first ones we touched on, Neil touched on at the beginning, is the director, John Badham, directed episode 5, season 1 of Constantine. So this is not his first time dealing with the character. And personally, I think it's just a nice, pretty cool touch to bring in someone who'd done an episode of Constantine to handle the guest appearance on Arrow.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense.
Yeah, well done. Well done.
That was great. And I don't know if this really counts as an Easter egg. So the article that we're referencing on comicbook.com says, John Constantine was in this. That's a big DC Easter egg.
There's a few big DC Easter eggs in this article.
I think we can move on from that one. And we've talked about it earlier in the Caesar that our drug lord who doesn't really care about the Argus pack, Baron Ryder, is a version of a character that we've seen in the DC universe, although not exactly the same. He's not a Nazi. He's not a World War II era white guy. Very different, but similar name.
Mm-hmm. I like how they flipped him. So it'll be interesting to see his story in Arrow and how it's changed from the comics.
Definitely.
Right. So we touched on this one earlier as we see Curtis Holt's jacket when he's about to go to the gym. If you look real close, it appears he has the phrase fair play stitched on the sleeve, which is the same thing Mr. Terrific had in the Golden Age on the front of his shirt. And he has on the sleeves of his jacket in the modern version of Mr. Terrific. So we're getting there.
He's close.
Plus, he's also an Olympic decathlete, just like Mr. Terrific in the comics.
You know, I was thinking about this. So, of course, they got to save Ray Palmer, and they still have to save Palmer Technologies, right? And he's supposed to be working on technologies for that. And, of course, we know the T-spheres are a big part of that. I think when Ray comes back, one of the things that he's going to help Holt with is the T-spheres. They're going to make the T-spheres, and that's going to be the thing that saves Palmer Tech. That's just my thoughts, but I could be way off.
Save the shrunken guy. Save the world. Hashtag heroes.
Hashtag more Constantine.
The cheerleader showed up again last week. I'm not going to spoil anything, but yeah, the storyline still moves on. All right.
Next Easter egg was a pretty fun one if you're watching the series. Throughout the Constantine TV show, he was always getting crap for his business cards. John Constantine, Master of the Dark Arts. Everyone gave him heck for it. He kept saying, I'm going to change these. They used the same props in this episode of Arrow, the same business card. So kind of a nice throwback.
It is. Next Easter egg we had is John says he's done a re-insoling before, which actually happened in an episode of Constantine called Quid Pro Quo. So his first time was on Constantine, his second time was on Arrow.
Maybe his third time will be on Flash.
Or Legends of Tomorrow.
There you go.
The next Easter egg is the fact that in a weird kind of flip the story, Laurel is the one wearing a white leather jacket this episode, and initially the black leather jacket was given to her by Sarah. She may now give the white leather jacket back to Sarah and help her in becoming White Canary.
And they also tease it in this episode that Sarah's running around insane with like a white smock on, basically, with her black outfit underneath. So they're starting to do the teasing, the emerging of the White Canary from the Canary.
Yeah, I will say with this show, costuming and color has been important from the beginning. The set designers, the costume designers, they have all said that it is not done without a purpose, right? And of course, I mean, the Verdant was boarded up, but we all still know that Oliver has a full clothing and suit manufacturing capability underneath in the basement right next to the Arrow Cave. I mean, that's where everybody's the Huntress's costume came from, stuff like that. So they have their own ability to make superhero costumes right there in the foundry.
Now, they got a guy for that from the comics. They show him.
Yeah, the DC direct-to-digital series Arrow Episode 2.5, which is coming out every week. They showed their guy, so it's not necessarily right next door, but they got a guy for that, similar to having an app for that.
Exactly. So, next Easter egg we have is a lot of Oliver's campaign slogans say the phrase United. This might be a little bit of a reach, but don't forget Green Arrow was a member of Justice League United for most of its comic book run, so maybe it's paying homage to that book, I'm not sure. We could be reaching, but I like to think it's a comic tie-in.
It has to be. You know the writers were sitting around a room for like 3 or 4 days going, man, what is this campaign slogan going
to
be?
Oh, I know. I want it to be hashtag save this city.
I was going to go like activate. We can make a Wonder Twins Easter egg reference.
Nice.
Yeah. Next Easter egg was the actual orb staff, you know, magic artifact that they were pulling out of the cave on the island, the Orb of Horus. The Orb of Horus and Horus itself shows up throughout the DC universe. It's pretty big in the Hawkman, Hawkgirl mythology, and also in the first episode of Constantine, he drew the Eye of Horus as a protective sigil. So it does show up in a lot of places in the continuity. Probably no accident they made it the Eye of Horus that they were pulling out of the island.
Yep. All right. We got one more here.
So the one more, and again, this might be a little bit of a stretch. John talks about keeping all of his magical trinkets in a safe place.
Yes.
So a lot of people are inferring this is the Millhouse we saw for his base in the Constantine TV series. I think it's a fair assumption.
Probably.
When he said that, I actually reached over and shoved my wife. I'm like, yeah, he's talking about the mill. He's talking about the mill. There's all that cool stuff down there in Dr. Fate's helmet. So yeah, that's where I went.
We talked a little bit about his magic. We kind of forgot to touch on this one. What do you think the tattoo he gave Oliver for protection is going to end up doing for him later?
I don't have a clue.
I don't either. I was hoping somebody here had an idea that I could go, oh, that's a great idea, and spin something off of it.
Yeah, I think it's going to happen before the end of the season. Matter of fact, that might be before the mid-season finale. I don't know. So we'll see. But I was wondering, like, all this, the tattoo transfer, and he's like, oh, you'll know. I'm like, all right.
We should probably pull some of like the DVD covers or the posters. Does he still have the kanji written on his side there, or is it gone? So maybe we still haven't found out what it does.
I'm pretty sure it's still on his side because I vaguely remember him having tattoos, multiple tattoos on the front and back. And then we know he got the one lasered off his back that was in regards to Shadow, but I'm pretty sure he still has the protection runes or whatnot on his abs. We'll have to ask some of our lady listeners who probably know or are quite familiar with Stephen Amell's abs if they can recall.
And his scars, too. I mean, the scars have been a continuity nightmare from time to time as well.
Okay, so Adam in the chat room has just said it's in the season one poster. He just checked.
Okay.
Yeah, perfect. Thanks, Adam.
Laying it in from day one. They knew where they were going. No, they didn't.
Well, I wonder if it's kind of like a permanent protection thing because it was on Constantine's arm and you would assume it would have triggered at some point, but then he transferred it. So maybe it's a permanent spell of some kind that...
Yeah, it might be the reason why he feels the need that he doesn't have to wear full body armor.
That's why he took the sleeves off. He has a protection rune tattooed on his abs that are covered by full armor.
Did you see him with his sleeves rolled up at the beginning, showing off his guns in full dress suit? Yeah.
If I had guns like that, I'd show them off too. I'll be honest.
He's going to do his entire campaign in a tank top.
That's how you get the female vote right there.
Well, he's unopposed, so it doesn't matter if he gets 10% or 90%. He's going to win the election.
Yeah, so, you know, that's a good point. He's unopposed and he's bringing in a political advisor to help him spin things.
As he said, do you want 10% or 50% or 90% of the vote?
Jessica Danforth was just kind of walking in and being like, I want to be the mayor and I'm going to make it happen. And there's no thought to any of the politics behind it. It's like, okay, she's going to be the mayor. Huh.
At least she's more experienced, right? She's probably gone to college, first of all, you know, graduated.
Look, Oliver went to college, she just didn't graduate.
Right. And I was going to go through the whole diatribe. She's probably had experience either in the political realms or the charity realms or whatever. So you become a political activist that way. So Oliver, not so much. He's just a vigilante. That's all he's got.
Yeah. The reality is I would follow 7 of 9 anywhere, so it doesn't matter.
She's still alive, too, so you could still follow her.
Your 7 of 9 point trumps all, I concede.
You know what? Okay, so that just reminds me. Neil, I don't know if we brought this up on the podcast yet. You recently had a run-in with a star in a store in your area.
So, apparently, Neil McDonough was shopping in a sporting goods store right before I was shopping in it, and the clerk looked down at the credit card receipt, and she was like, oh, I just had a Neil here. I think he's an actor. Let me see, and looked at the receipt. Some McDonough guy. Do you know him? I'm like, oh, just missed him.
You can't miss those blue eyes. I mean, come on.
They're so dreamy.
Dreamy. All right. So we have some news. Let's get through it really quick. First of all, of course, we talked about it before the Arrow rating spiked. So let's go on to the next one. Wendy Miracle was, of course, on another featurette about behind the scenes of Haunted.
Yeah, definitely. And I think this is something great that when they expanded the roster of producers on this show, I think Wendy was brought on board for a lot of her contributions in the past as a writer, but also because she's become the face of the show to the media. Every week, she's doing a lot of interviews, and she's also doing these behind-the-scenes featurettes. This week, she talks about what the motivations were to bring Constantine into it, how they envisioned incorporating the mysticism, and how this is the perfect way to start bringing this other side to Arrow, to look at more of Ollie's past. And I think this opens up a ton of doors for the entire series and for the shared CW-DC universe going forward.
It does. And I like the fact that Andrew Kreisberg and the other creators involved are now supplementing with her. Yeah, I think it's a good fit. I think they've done a good job because they're running four shows right now. So
definitely. That actually brings us up to our next news point, that Andy Kreisberg just had his contract renewed with Warner Brothers Television so he can continue his long continuation and his contributions to Arrow, Flash, Legends of Tomorrow, and Supergirl. So guys like Andy Kreisberg are really busy. Guys like Mark Guggenheim that's still writing comic books, still an executive producer on Arrow. He's smoking busy. Yeah, and Wendy has stepped up and she is delivering as far as one of the main EPs on the show goes.
Absolutely. All right. Apparently, there's a contest, or there was a contest, and it was won, and somebody is going to have some fun at crossover.
I didn't know that somebody won. SP, don't break my heart.
By the time this podcast goes out, somebody will win. No, I misread the title. So yeah, nobody won, but there's a contest. So tell me about the contest.
Chris, go for it.
So they're running a contest right now to be at the premiere at one of the big events for the upcoming Flash and Arrow crossover. You can go to the CW's website and you can try and win tickets to the VIP screening of the two episodes. It could be really fun. We don't know anything about where this screening is going to take place or when exactly, but I want to win. I want to be there. I want to see this.
It's going to simultaneously take place both in Star City and Central City.
So I'm going to Vancouver.
Yeah, come on up, man. I got a guest bedroom. I'm podcasting in it.
So it's going to be phenomenal because this is going to be one continuous story. It's not going to be a story set in one area and then a couple people run over to the other one. From what I've heard, it's going to be one continuous story with both casts. So I can't wait for this.
I can dig it.
The next article of news that we have, it's not really news per se, but you can see how Arrow is starting to spread into the collective consciousness. It's branching out from traditional geek domains and geek news sites. Nerd Fitness has actually posted the Stephen Amell workout. And I know Chris, one of your co-hosts, has been doing the Captain America workout over at ATGN, All Things Good and Nerdy.
Now he's talking about transitioning to the Arrow workout.
I wish him well. I'm still battling a back muscle injury, and I'm not going to be able to do this, but at some point in time, I'm going to do that salmon ladder before the show goes off the air. So there you go. That's my stake in the ground. Salmon ladder, SP's going to do it shirtless.
It's a lot of body weight, parkour type exercises. I'm looking more for the Diggle workout. I think there's a lot more picking things up and putting them down in that workout.
He's got massive guns, man. Bigger. His arms are bigger than Stephen Amell's.
Yeah, I know. He is a big boy. And you know, he's not doing body weight stuff. He's pumping iron.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just the second article that we have here that shows how Arrow is spreading out of traditional geek media, that the magazine Forbes actually now has an ongoing Green Arrow commentary in their entertainment section. And they're saying, you know, the writers over at Forbes are loving season 4 as compared to season 3. They may be a bit harsh on season 3, but they're loving season 4. So go Forbes. the more people that watch, the better ratings we get and the more Arrow we're going to get down the road.
Right. So semi-breaking news as we record this. 13 minutes ago, Stephen Amell was on Twitter. He's at Amelliewood, if anyone didn't know. He goes, I think episodes 406 through 409 might be one of our strongest stretches ever on this show. So taking you up to the mid-season finale, he's already pimping it out and getting people excited.
All right. Way to go, Stephen. I'm sure that nothing has changed, but he's pimping it. And that's, you know, what are you going to do? It's your show. You want it to succeed. And he likes the character.
Exactly.
Yeah. So there you go.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Right. So we had a comic book come out this week. Green Arrow number 46. Tell me about it.
If you've been following the post-convergence Green Arrow, which now looks even more like Stephen Amell and his bow is almost identical to Stephen Amell's bow in the current season, he's teamed up with Tarantula, a Central American Hispanic superhero, trying to figure out what's up with these bodies of bones, these skeleton warriors. And they were trucking down. They did a bit of a road trip in the last couple of episodes or issues. And it all comes to a head. They get to where they need to be. And it's not defined. It's probably Central Mexico in this issue. And finally taking on the skeleton gang. Tarantula is a very cool, strong character. I think DC needs more prominent and diversified female characters. And Tarantula is pretty awesome. So go check out issue number 46 of Green Arrow. Head to your local comic book store or pop over to Comixology. And check it out, guys. I think you won't be disappointed.
After work tomorrow, I'm totally going to go to the comic book store because the last 2 weeks have just... I'm going to get some hard copies. I'm going to do this. Yeah, absolutely. All right. So we have been getting a lot of great feedback over the past week, and we really appreciate that from our listeners, our followers on Twitter, Facebook. A couple of ones that I want to point out, first of all, comes from our buddy Ferris. And Ferris, for those that don't know, is a long-term fan of shows on the Gunna Geek Network, and he says, Colton Hayes, Roy Harper returns as Linus in John Carpenter's gritty Peanuts reboot. Did you guys have a chance to see that little video?
No,
I missed it.
I need to go and see it.
Yeah, so it will be in the show notes. Go check it out. And then Cajun Sean wanted to point out that he called it that Oliver first met Constantine in the flashbacks. See the post-credit talk on Green Arrow review episode. And you too can have your chance to join us in the post-credits on blab.im, 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central, and all the little time changes on that on blab.im. Just go to gunnageek.com/live and it will have it on there. All right. We also have a voicemail. It is from Mr. Black Adam, consultant Adam. And you boys want to hear it?
Bring it on.
Let's do it.
Hey, guys. This is Adam calling in with feedback on this week's episode of Arrow, the big Constantine crossover. Except he didn't have nearly as much of a role in the current time as I thought he would. Though I suppose that does make sense. It's not like it's the Flash crossover where it's actually between two shows that are still running. I did like him in the flashback, especially with him and Ollie going Indiana Jones in that little tomb area. It didn't take me long to figure out that the girls that Sarah attacked looked like Thea, but it was nice that it took everyone else some time to realize that. The stuff with Felicity and Curtis setting up more of the Ray stuff that's coming to a head next week seemed a bit tacked on, but I suppose it was the only real comic relief they had in the show, so I'll give it a pass. Hadn't thought of the fact that it might be even tougher for Diggle to forgive Quentin than it would be for Ollie, though the way that turned out did answer a question while asking a whole bunch of other ones. The end with recovering Sarah's soul almost seemed anticlimactic, though the fight scene in her mind, Nanda Parbat, was kind of cool. Can't wait to hear what you guys think. Talk to you later. Bye.
And Adam brings up a good point that we didn't really talk about what happened in the mystical Nanda Parbat, and that, you know, they're busy taking out normal League of Assassins guys until the character with the iconic Ra's al Ghul sword shows up. Like, all right, this should be exciting. We don't know which Ra's it was from the past. One could assume that that Sarah was being possessed by that Ra's who was spending a lot of time in the pit. And then I wasn't sure about how that fight ended with Constantine just lifting Roz up in the air and gutting him. It could have been more exciting, but I'll take it. It's more Ra's al Ghul.
So I got a little confused there where he's like, Oliver, you need to go help her to get Sarah out of the Lazarus pit. And then they just kind of stood there and watched him fight Roz.
Yeah, the whole dream sequence went by a little bit way too fast, but I just consider it a dream sequence. Like, they don't always make sense, right? So
no, most of my dreams don't.
I'm usually a super spy. So
I usually have a lightsaber.
They make a lot. Nice.
All right. So, Chris, what else do you have to say about our wonderful network?
So, if you guys didn't know, we pimp it on occasion. We are part of a network. It's called the Gunna Geek Network. You can go find that over at gunnageeknetwork.com. SP has the mic flag up for it right now. So, we like to share with you some of the other episodes, some of the other stuff going on in the network. This week, we want to point you to the official podcast of the website network, the gunnageek.com podcast number 118. We welcome the Audibly Exquisite podcast to the Gunna Geek Network. So, then the headline itself is the big news. And in this episode, Peter from Audibly Exquisite Podcast joins via phone to officially introduce and welcome them to the network. During the news, the crew discuss MasterCard announcing different NFC payment methods, a Harry Potter sequel in production via London Stage, and a possible Dyson Sphere has been observed. So, if that sounds interesting, head on over to GunnaGeekNetwork.com and check out episode 118 of the GunnaGeek.com podcast.
That was definitely a fun episode, so go try to check that out. So, Neil, what are we going to be talking about next week? Because I don't control the schedule, and you do, so what do you got for us?
Next week, Wednesday, November 11th, is the air date for episode 6 of season 4 of Arrow, titled Lost Souls, where Felicity is frantic when she learns that Ray is alive and being held by, dun-dun-dun, Damian Dark. This was in the preview. Felicity's guilt over not finding Ray sooner causes tension between her and Oliver. Mm. Directed by Antonio Negrete, writers Amelia Ortego-Aldrich and Beth Schwartz.
Interesting. I can't wait to get him back. Little tiny Adam. Can't wait to get little tiny Adam back. Little tiny Superman, like an action figure, right?
Nice.
There you go. Hey, I just want to thank all the listeners and the viewers on YouTube and live here on Blab and Spreaker. Really appreciate you guys stepping by and checking us out. It is fun. We don't do this just to talk to each other. We do that over chat or whatever, but we do this to include everybody else, and we really appreciate your participation.
Yeah, and I want to take a chance to thank all of the folks in the Blab chat that are participating and listening to us live. Listeners like Ilsa Helosia, Black Adam, Cajun Sean, and everybody else that's been popping in and out of Blab. If you'd like to join the crew, like to contribute in the sidebar, pop on over to blab.im. As SP's mentioned, it's Thursday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, and just search for Starling Tribune and you should find us.
Hey, don't forget, head on over to iTunes, give us a 5-star review because it helps other people find us in the podcast searchability. It really does. And if you have problems searching for Starling Tribune here on Blab, try searching for at Stargate Pioneer. I'm finding that if I start the Blab as Stargate Pioneer, it pops up easier that way. So if you're having problems, do that. But the normal Starling Tribune should pop in. And we always try it after it's created. We always try to tweet it on our Twitter account. That is at Starling Tribune.
So don't forget, you can find all of our contact information on the Gunna Geek Network over at gunnageeknetwork.com. And while you're there, check out our forums, check out some of the other great shows we have on the network. If you want to share your thoughts, head on over to our Facebook page, send in a tweet, or give us a call on our voicemail at 612-888-CAVE. That's 612-888-2283. We'd love to hear from you.
Great episode, guys. That about wraps it up for another week. Before we sign off and open up the Blab to our live listeners, any last words at Roundtable Nerds?
Constantine.
At Stargate Pioneer.
Lighter.
And I am at Neil Isn't Witty, signing off with hashtag more Constantine. This has been...
This was the Starling Tribune. You can leave us feedback at gunnageek.com or check out our archive at starlingtribune.com. Visit gunnageek.com for more podcasts. Music by Kevin MacLeod can be found at incompetech.com. This podcast is not produced or maintained by the CW, Warner Brothers Television, CTV, or DC Comics. All characters, stories, and situations are the property of Time Warner. No infringement is intended. We will see you for the next episode of CW's Arrow.
That made me think. I think we're going to get better vehicles for the Team Arrow.
Well, I mean, we saw all of the motorcycles and stuff they have set aside. So when do we get the Arrowmobile?
The Arrow car. If you go back to the Golden Age comics, it was this bright yellow thing. It was hideous, the Arrow is, car.
It's as bad as the Spider-Mobile.
Oh, it's worse because it's yellow. Oh, man.
I didn't think that was possible.
Yeah. If you actually go back to when Green Arrow in the comics was brought back to life.
Okay, with Sarah being back to normal, we see the previews for next week. She's back in full gear.
Now, we don't know if she's normal. We just know that she has her soul back.
Well, normal in the sense that her soul is back.
Okay.
More normal compared to what she was before.
Yes. She's not running around killing Thea cosplayers.
Yeah, fair, exactly.
Fair enough.
How long do you think until we get a reunion with Nyssa?
It's going to happen.
The question is, how concerned is Nyssa? Because remember, she was very opposed to her resurrection because yes. It wouldn't be her. So when they have their moment of being reunited, is she going to react positively? That I don't know.
And how is Sarah going to take the news that she married Oliver?
Yeah. And technically, they're still married, remember?
Well, it's a CW show. It's easily explained. Roz made me do it, right? But it's a CW show, so miscommunication and stuff.
She did call Thea's sister-in-law.
Sure. Yeah, she thinks they're still married.
Well, they take honor and commitment. You know, those assassins, they take honor and commitment very seriously. Well, they take honor and commitment. You know, those assassins, they take honor and commitment very seriously. So
this is just Ollie angling for that threesome.
Oh,
I kid. Don't send me.
Well, it doesn't.
Sure, it's not a foursome with Felicity
or
round table nerds.
Or you throw Ray in there too. It doesn't have to be all women.
So we're gonna have a Team Arrow orgy, is what you're saying? TAO, the towel.
I'm sure there's some fanfic out there about it.
We'll talk to Lauren over on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. I'm sure she's written some.
I like the part when he takes the peacock feather and he's just scratching his bag and says, "That's been bugging me."
But he hands it back, right? And then she takes it. She's like, "Ew."